Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Jindal Stainless Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Majumdar from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings call of Jindal Stainless Limited. We have with us today from the management, Mr. Abhyuday Jindal, Managing Director, Mr. Tarun Khulbe, CEO, Mr. Anurag Mantri, ED and Group CFO, and Ms. Shreya Sharma, Head Investor Relations. And first of all, congratulations, sir, on a decent set of numbers, a steady and decent set of numbers. So without much ado, I shall hand it over to Ms. Shreya Sharma to take the call on forward.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome on the call. Wish you all a very happy New Year. We have shared our Q3 FY24 earnings presentation with the stock exchanges, which is also available on the company's website, and today's call discussion will be on the same lines. Please note some of the information on this call may be forward-looking in nature and is covered by the disclaimer on the slide two of the earnings presentation. Now, I would like to hand over to our Managing Director, Mr. Abhyuday Jindal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shreya, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings call. I wish you all a very happy and healthy year ahead. Let me first discuss the key business highlights of the quarter ending December 2023, following which Anurag will take you through our operational and financial performance. During the quarter, the global market saw muted demand, pricing pressures, and destocking, coupled with geopolitical issues such as the one unfolding in the Red Sea. Despite these challenges, we managed to deliver fair volumes in the export markets. However, there is a slight dip in the overall sales volume on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This was due to a planned maintenance in the plant aimed at upgrading the output for an enhanced product mix and a faster ramp-up. Domestic demand for stainless steel continued to be on the rise, with the auto sector witnessing growth in all segments, government's push for stainless steel infrastructure, and robust growth in the pipe and tube sector. Thus, the domestic market is expected to witness overall healthy growth, and with our agility to switch volumes between domestic and export markets, we are poised to deliver good sales volume in Q4 FY24. This is despite exports expecting to be subdued. I would also like to discuss the successful acquisition of Raviraj Vinimay Private Limited on an ongoing basis at the cost of INR 96 crore. Raviraj has a P&T capacity of 4,000 tons-5,000 tons per month, and this acquisition will help us to penetrate deeper into the value chain. Further, I am happy to share we have started production in Rathi Super Steel. This will help us widen our product offering through an addition of long products like wire rods and rebars to our existing product portfolio. The operations will further ramp up in FY25. To support the government's Make in India mission, it is a constant endeavor to substitute imports in critical areas. Our strong R&D efforts have created various grades to replace imports in important segments, such as aerospace, defense, petrochemicals, thermal power. On the import side, distortion in the level playing field between Indian manufacturers and subsidized foreign imports continued throughout the quarter due to a high level of imports, majorly from China and Vietnam. Immediate focus on the government will be necessary to get this situation under check and help the stainless steel ecosystem in the nation reach its full potential. Jindal Stainless is committed to help this ecosystem flourish, and we are taking constant steps in this regard under our Stainless Academy initiative. You might be aware that this initiative is aimed at skill building and awareness creation about the benefits of stainless steel. During the quarter, we have trained more than 4,800 people through 46 fabricator training programs conducted. On the ESG front, JSL showcased its decarbonization initiatives at the prestigious UN COP28 Climate Summit for the first time. We also announced that we are set to achieve our midterm target of 50% carbon emissions reduction well before the target year of 2035. Our efforts towards sustainability and environmentally responsible operations were acknowledged at several industry forums. Jindal Stainless became a member of Responsible Steel, a global not-for-profit multi-stakeholder standard and certification initiative. We released our sustainability report for FY23 last month. We also bagged several prestigious awards, like the India Green Award 2024 for Environmental Excellence at the 23rd GreenTech Environment Annual Summit and Awards 2023, National Sustainability Award 22-23 by the Indian Institute of Metals, Award of Appreciation for CPP at the Odisha State Energy Conservation Award 2023. With this, I would like to hand over to Anurag to discuss the operational and financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Abhijay. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome on the call. I wish you a very happy 2024. As highlighted by Abhijay, we delivered the consistent performance amidst the challenging global scenario. Let me discuss in detail the operational and financial performance during Q3 FY24. The volume increased by 28% on a YOY basis with slight dip of 6% on a QOQ basis as explained by Abhijay earlier. The standalone revenue remained stable on a YOY to ₹9,720 crores despite the 19% dip in the nickel prices. EBITDA and PAT increased by 8% and 41% respectively to ₹1,021 crore and ₹779 crore on a YOY basis. The 9-month standalone revenue increased to 13% YOY to ₹28,835 crore. EBITDA and PAT increased by 30% and 52% to ₹3,208 crore and ₹2,054 crore respectively on YOY basis. On the subsidiaries and associate side, we are trying to further simplify the group structure. In this regard, the board has approved divestment of 26% stake in JCL, and which is Jindal Coke Limited, and increasing the stake in Iber Jindal up to 100%. Divestment in JCL will further support our ESG commitment to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050. By integrating the sustainability into our business strategy and operations to create value for all the stakeholders with minimizing the environmental impact. I would also like to update that during Q3 FY24, the surplus available funds JUSL has also paid a dividend of ₹200 crore to JCL. I am happy to share that all the three credit rating agencies, CRISIL, India Rating and CARE, have revised the JSL credit rating to AA stable from AA minus. This change reflects our prudent capital allocation strategy for strong business management. Despite engaging the both organic and inorganic capital expenditure, our leverage ratios remain among the industry's best range, with net debt to EBITDA at 0.7x and net debt to equity at 0.2x. There is another good development. Lenders have also approved the long-awaited promoter's pledge of all the equity shares of the company. Now, all the shares earlier pledged with the lenders have been released. On the capex side, in our last call, we guided for FY24 capex of ₹3,300 crores. Now, additionally, we acquired Raviran for ₹96 crores and expecting a preponement of ₹225 crore Indonesia NPI tranche from FY25 to FY24 as project is running on a fast track basis. So we may have an additional capex of ₹325 crore in FY24 aggregating to ₹3,600 crore versus 3,003 crore guided earlier. Accordingly, we were earlier anticipating closing net debt of 4,700 crore. Despite this capex addition of ₹325 crore, we expect March 25 closing that level of 4,800 crore only. On the demand outlook, we are confident that domestic stainless steel demand will continue to rise with robust economic activities in infrastructure, supported infrastructure supported demand. Enhanced project activities on process industry front will further strengthen the stainless ecosystem. With this, I would like to end my discussion and would request the moderator to open the floor for the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. The first one essentially relates to the loan that we have extended to NPI of around 384 crores. We just wanted to understand the genesis behind it and the key attributes of this loan, when it will be returned, and what is the interest rate, etc. That is the
first question. Okay, so shall we answer question by question? You want to ask all the questions? Okay, yes, let me answer first question.
Sure.
Okay, so this 384 crore loans, if you recall, the NPA total investment was $158 million. And there was a tranche. So we have right now kept the flexibility of sending the money. It's been right now sent partial loans. This amount has been sent as infused in a Singapore entity as a debt, but we have a right to convert into equity later stage. So we will see the best tax efficient capital structure at appropriate time and then accordingly decide. But right now this investment has been done through a combination of debt and equity.
It's
basically shareholder debt. No, not external debt.
Okay, so just wanted to understand because, you know, we have already, I would say, paid whatever was due this year. So what was the need of extending this additional loan?
No. So this is a part of that. There is no additional loan. It is part of the same consideration of $158 million. Let me tell you that. The total outflow on this project till now has happened close to $121 million, which is around 1,000 crore of amount. And balance amount is still due. So the balance amount is due, which I am paying, as I told in my opening remark. Out of that, we are expecting $26 million may get preponed because the project is on fast track. It may get completed much earlier than what we were anticipating. Because these are milestone-based tranches, we may have to send another $26 million before March. But this is all within this $121 million, which is a combination of this loan, as well as the money sent as equity.
Okay. The second question is regarding the couple of, more earning drivers, that is Rathi Super Steel and Ravidan. Now, what kind of ramp-up should we expect on both of these operations? And what would be the ballpark EBITDA per ton that we could expect for maybe FY25?
So Rathi, we just, as Abhidev mentioned, we just started the Rathi production. The expected FY25, we expect to have a 70% utilization. So it's a combination, the capacity will depend with the combination of wire rods as well as the rebar. So if we make more rebar, the capacities come down. So overall, we are expecting 9 to 10,000 ton per month run rate in FY25, around 120,000 ton of in FY25 from Rathi. On EBITDA side, I think on Rathi, right now we are guiding it in the range of, because it's a start and initial product coming out of the mill, so 4 to 6,000 rupees per ton of EBITDA in FY25. On Raviraj, we just acquired the plant. I think it will take some time for to start. So we are guiding that in H1 FY25, we should be able to start the plant. Initially, as the capacity currently is close to 4,000-5,000 ton per month existing. Eventually, we want to make it a 8,000-10,000 ton pipe and tape tube facility with the combination of decorative as well as industrial tube. So we'll have to increase the capacity and also put up the functionality and some equipment for make it an industrial tube. So initial volumes, I think, for FY25, the volume may not be high because we will be starting the operations in H1 25. Out of this, current, because current plant, we will start with, say, 1,000-1,500 per month to start with.
Okay. That's very elaborate. Any additional CapEx that we expect on both of these plants in FY25?
Raviraj, approximate 75 crore CapEx to start the unit as well as to put up some of these decorative and industrial facilities. So initially, these are initial CapEx. It could go further up, but FY25, we are expecting next 9 to 12 months, we are expecting 75 crore to invest to start the facility. Rathi, we guided earlier up to close to 150 crore of the CapEx, which is there. Also, out of which some has happened, I think in next year, maybe around 75-100 crore CapEx will happen.
Okay. Great. Great. That's it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Bhavin Rupani from Investec. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Bhavin, your line is in the talk mode, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to understand the significance of Spain operations and also wanted to understand the reason for increasing stake if it's a stall, even though it's a loss-making entity as of now.
So Bhavin, just loss-making has only been because of the temporary situation in the last one and a half years, actually. One and a half to 2 years because that's a service center that we have in Europe, and it has been in the history before that been doing very well for us. And even in the future, we see very good demand. It is just because of the subdued demand that is there in Europe at the moment is why our Spain service center has been at loss. But definitely, the European market will rebound, and when it does, we're very confident again, Iberjindal should start performing better. And in FY22 itself, we did an EBITDA of almost 109 crores and a PAT of 80 crores. So it is only because of the market conditions in Europe why we're not able to perform. Otherwise, we're very bullish, and that is why we're also willing to buy back our partner stake in the company. So it's only a temporary phenomenon. As soon as the European market rebounds, you'll see Iberjindal performing very well as well.
All right. Got it, sir. And the second question is related to Jindal Coke. We intend to divest 26% stake. So can you provide us with indicative valuations for it, and what is the current debt and EBITDA run rate?
So I think basically the board has just approved it yesterday for us to explore the options of this. So I think it's a bit early to say on the valuation side that right now. On EBITDA side, last quarter, they did an EBITDA of 56 crore of EBITDA, and the debt in the entity is close to 450 crores.
But net debt is 3.
Net debt is around 300 crores. Okay.
All right. Got it, sir. And sir, is it possible for you to provide the breakup of CapEx for FY24 and 25?
25, I think it's a bit early, as we say, because we'll have to plan right now. I can tell you the typically maintenance and sustenance CapEx of annual 500-600 crore what we get. So that will be there in FY25. FY, and besides that, there is a 500-600 crore of current project CapEx, which may spill over to not spill over, that will be due in FY25. But otherwise, there is no new CapEx which we have actually right now planned at this point of time besides this. FY24 CapEx, as I guided, that earlier we guided for 3300, which has now increased to 3600, could go up to 3600 because of two reasons. One is that 100 crore of Raviran investment, and second is this NPI tranche of $26 million, which is due in April, may get preponed in March itself. In that case, another 225 crore may come from the NPI tranche. So close to 3600 could be the CapEx in this year.
Sir, is it possible for you to give breakup of 3,300 crores? You mentioned about 325 crores, but what about...
Sure, I can give you. So, let me tell you. So, I think JUSL acquisition was 958 crores. RKEF, this NPIV expected 1,000 crores this year, so which has completely gone now. Maintenance, sustenance of 500 crores. Ongoing capexes of 400 crores. Rathi was 100 crores. The renewable power was 150 crore and besides that JUSL expansion capex of 250 crore. So that was 3,358 crore maths exactly.
All right, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. I just want to understand from the perspective of the consolidated entities, they have contributed 225 crore this quarter. This has increased from 68 crore a quarter ago. So which are the main drivers to this contribution?
Sorry, Ketan, can you repeat your question? I haven't understood it.
I was saying that when we look at the consolidated minus standalone EBITDA difference, that is 225 crore in this quarter, which is higher than the 68 crore a quarter ago. So just wanted to understand which of the subsidiaries are actually contributing to this increase in this quarter.
So there is, if you look at Keaton, there is a positive side on the global subsidiaries. So last quarter, there was a huge loss on Eber as well as on PTJSI. And this quarter, if you see, there is a EBITDA, it's a break-even for Eber Jindal, and the operations are, we have booked loss to some extent, the valuation loss. So now going ahead, we are not expecting on the inventories which is left there to further continue loss on the, that stock available over there. Anything more you want a clarification on?
In terms of the ongoing run rate for the operations outside standalone, what should be the ongoing run rate for those businesses?
For Eber, basically, Eber Jindal? PTJSI is already...
PTJSI, we're closing down operations there. And run rate, I'm not...
Eber, typically, on an average, it used to do 600 to 800 crore of the revenue. 600, 700 crore revenue. So basically, 6 to 7, 8 million euros. Hopefully, that should be the practice. But I think maybe it may take another quarter for them to come back to those type of profitability zone because we still have most of the stock. So if you see last quarter, at least that gets neutralized. There's no loss in last quarter on a net basis. Maybe we have still have some inventory left of 5,000 ton in that entity, which may have some losses incurred, and that right now European markets are still weak. But I think next year onwards, I think FY25 beginning onwards, we should start seeing that in a good positive development, as Abhida mentioned.
Sure, sir. Just one more question in terms of the acquisition into the pipe and tube team. This is basically appears to be a forward integration. We have previously maintained the position that we wouldn't want to sort of get into the space of our customers. So is there any change in the sort of a direction?
So there is a very large market for pipe and tube in our country. And what we keep seeing is that when substandard material is getting utilized left, right and center, then there has to be some stability, some kind of ask. So there, from a lot of fronts, we're getting asked that a good quality player is required to stabilize the market. This opportunity came in front of us. We felt that we were the best company in place to take this up, utilize the facility, and give the best in-class product in the market. So with that strategy, why is why we entered. And it is not going to be that we're going to eat into our customers' market. You know, we have a clear-cut strategy. We will continue to support our customers who are in the pipe and tube sector. There is enough growth coming in our country all across. There is only going to be push towards infrastructure, airports, railways. So there is enough demand if that's going to come. And with our good quality, we would like to showcase that to India and to the world. So with that strategy is why we went ahead with this acquisition.
Right, sir. And in terms of, sir, if we look forward to next 5 years or so, how do we like this segment to develop from here?
IP and segment in the next 5 years.
In the next 5 years, see, it's definitely going to grow at a CAGR of almost 10 to 12%. You know, with the infrastructure push that is coming in, so there is good and enough space for players like Jindal and for other entrants, new entrants to come in. So in, I would say in all sectors in stainless steel that we are operating in, I see a good growth of close to 10% in each segment.
Right. My question was more from the perspective for the pipe and tube segment. Once we have sort of the, we have got into the position, would we be growing the capacity at this base and sort of enlarging, trying to sort of enlarge our market share in the segment as well? Does the company have the opportunity to offer us the brownfield expansion at this site?
So it will totally depend on a lot of factors. First, we would like to reach to the 100% rated capacity this plant has. Then we will take a call depending on the market growth requirement whether we want to further enhance and expand. So first priority is to get this plant 100% utilized. Then only we will plan for future expansion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ritwik Seth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, few questions from my end. So first of all, on the Rabirun acquisition, is it fair to understand that this 4,000-5,000 tons of pipe and tube, the raw material will be supplied from our plant only?
Yes, 100%. There's definitely no one else's material we will use.
Right. So basically we can get another 50,000 tons of volume from selling it to our subsidiary only for next year probably.
Yes.
Right. And then you mentioned that you're looking to expand to 8,000 to 10,000 tons.
From next year, you should not take it from next year, but because it's a journey, but yes, eventually we can reach that.
Right. Sure. So you mentioned 8,000 to 10,000 tons you target over the medium term. So any timelines and what kind of capex would be required to double this pipe and tube capacity?
So, Ritwik, you know, I just answered first, because there's already a rated capacity of close to 4,000 to 5,000 tons. First, we would like to achieve that. You know, this plant was closed for 3 years, and by the time we start and everything, so first we want to reach 100% capacity utilization. Which we should be doing in about 2 years' time, then we will look at further expansion if required. There's enough land available there for us to expand, so then we can look at that.
Okay, great. And so how is the ramp-up for the brownfield expansion which we completed 6 months ago?
So that ramp-up is progressing well already. That is one of the reasons why we took a minor shutdown in Q3 to enhance the productivity product mix of our new expansion. So it's coming on track, and we should see good volumes coming from there in Q4.
Okay. And what would be the utilization for the currently for the new brownfield for the one green tower?
Volume increase we are seeing in FY24 of 20% we can say, and a similar expectation is for next year, that we should see another 25% volume growth.
25%. Okay. Okay, right. And sir, my last question, similar to the previous participant, but you know, you had mentioned in the last call that we plan to give an update for further brownfield expansion from 3 million to 4 million tons.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. I did mention that. And you know, we are, because of these few other acquisitions that have come up right now, we are still on working on our plans. I would really like to give a very concrete plan to all our investors and not overcommit or undercommit something. So we're still working on it. Just give us a little more time. I know I did commit, and I am also pushing ourselves internally to come out clearly, but I don't want to overcommit, you know, something when I'm not confident myself. So it might take us another few months, but there's full work is happening internally on that. So just give us a little more time for this.
Sure. Sure, sir. Absolutely, point taken. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. So, I had a couple of questions. The first on the NPK facility. We have seen that nickel prices are now literally back to $16,000, and there is a lot of talk on how much capacity Indonesia is putting up in nickel over the next one or two years. So in the light of that, I want to know the viability of the facility, even at $16,000 nickel, and what is your steady state outlook for nickel prices?
Well, actually, this nickel price, rightly you said that it is at $16,000 level, but this keeps on. I mean, we all know that it's go on changing. We had estimated that the payback for this capacity would be around 4 years, and  3 to 4 years, and we still believe that once the, I mean, because the way the markets are moving, eventually, I mean, we still believe that we should be able to reach it.
So at $16,000, are we still viable in the project? That was my question, sir.
Yes, project is still viable. Definitely, the kind of margin that was there at when nickel was $20-$21 has reduced. But because nickel being such a volatile raw material, and right now the whole Europe and China is kind of, there is subdued demand, and they're not operating at 100% capacity. So when the metal economy, stainless steel economy rebounds, nickel will also rebound, price will pick up. That time, the viability will again be higher. So even at $16,000, absolutely it is viable. There is no problem at all. But because of the volatility, we are still quite confident that within our 4 years that we've committed, the payback should be achieved.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. That was my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Jatin Damania from Swan Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. I had a few questions. So one was with regards to the Rathi Steel. What is the capacity we are looking over and the incremental CapEx along with the timelines for it? And could you talk a little bit about the operating metrics in terms of EBITDA we are working at Rathi right now?
So, Rathi, as I just mentioned, that around FY25, we are targeting approximate 70% utilization, but depending on the combination of wire rod and rebar, so close to 110,000-120,000 tons of full year sales volume in Rathi. And EBITDA per ton, since it's the start of the project, what we said is that 4,000-6,000 tons of EBITDA per ton range.
Got it. And incremental CapEx, if you could talk about that.
Incremental incremental capex also, okay, sorry, incremental capex, as you said, the Rathi, what we mentioned was around 100 to 150 crore of the capex we envisage, which is ongoing right now. Some of the has already been incurred, so we are in the journey of that.
Got it. Thank you. And second question was with regards to the European unit, IBER. What is the strategical fit to our business of it, and how do we see it growing there?
So in Spain, it's our service center. We send our mother coils from India, and there we are servicing our customers just in time, you know, with the right sizing, with the right requirements that they have. So it has a huge value for us because of having this service center. We have long-standing customers in Europe who, even despite COVID or any kind of duty or CBAM coming in, they're still going to be with us because we are part of the end-to-end supply chain. So this has created tremendous value. We still are very bullish on our Spain service center, European service center. European market is also going to grow. And it's only currently right now, because of all these geopolitical situation and issues, Europe itself is not performing well. The minute Europe rebounds, IBER will also rebound. So it has lot, it has huge potential for us. And that is the only way customers will stay with you, whether you are there and able to support their supply chain. So through this, we are part of their total supply chain.
Understood. That was helpful. Thank you. And my last question.
Another point I can add is we also give a lot of quality support. So that is one major difference between Jindal Stainless and most stainless steel majors in the world, that we have very strong after-sales service and quality support. So we have strong quality people, technical people sitting in our service center. The minute there is any requirement, they travel within a week to 10 days and they're there across Europe. So that's another additional benefit we are able to give our customers. Yeah, your second question?
Yeah, this was with regards to JUSL, the United Steel Limited entity. How much volumes are being used for a captive in JSL and third party? And also with regards to, if you give some clarification with regards to the data say.
So captive consumption is almost close to 80 to 90%. 90%. JUSL.
JUSL, yeah.
90% 10 plus only our capacity utilization is there right now. What was your second part to it?
EBITDA margin of the same JUSL.
EBITDA margin around...
On a standalone basis, JUSL, typically it's a job work model, 4,500 of EBITDA per ton. So what we said is that if you convert on JSL volume, it adds up to close to 3,000 rupees of EBITDA per ton of JSL guidance.
Got it. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Tushar Chaudhary from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir, and good set of numbers. Congratulations. Sir, I just wanted to know, with the raw material prices are falling, nickel has fallen a lot, probably YOY basis 40-odd%. Stainless steel prices are also coming off. So in this light, how are the other raw material prices are moving, ferrochrome and ferromanganese? And is there any change in our EBITDA per ton guidance over the next, let's say, few quarters?
No, good question, Tushar. So firstly, yes, nickel, manganese have come down, but chrome has actually gone up, you know, so, and even scrap prices and all have not come down as sharply as nickel has. So, I mean, it's a raw material will always be volatile. What was your second part to the question?
EBITDA per ton guidance.
EBITDA per ton, we are still sticking to 19 to 20,000. You know, yes, definitely there is... pressure because of export not picking up and China dumping that is happening. But despite that, because we are so versatile and so spread across various industries, so we're able to maintain our EBITDA per ton between 19 and 20, and we see good growth and demand in the domestic market.
Okay. And sir, second question is on a Series 400 contribution. We were increasing it. So that is on track, right? I mean, how much was the increase?
Every quarter by 2-3% it is increasing. I can tell you what is the figure in terms of, yes. So like It has gone up each quarter. If you can say last Q3 last year was around,
right,
it's around 25%, you can say, but it is growing by 1-2% every quarter.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janvi Dodai from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Nishit here from Equitas Investments. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. First one is, in your press release, you mentioned that there is sharp increase in dumping of 300 series by 73% from China and Vietnam. Can you share the quantum in metric terms? And second, what are we doing to protect our domestic market share?
Number, do we have that number? See, we would not like to exactly open to sharing these numbers, but definitely see, now in terms of, that is the whole game, the question that you asked, what are you doing to mitigate against China? That is exactly what over this many years and months we have built an inherent strength. So we have a very strong distribution network. We have a very strong after-sales service. Our quality is considered to be anyway much superior to any Chinese player. So these are inherent strengths. Being a domestic player, we get that benefit, you know, providing just-in-time. We have almost 12 warehouses across the country providing just-in-time services to our clients, maintaining their inventories for them. Plus a lot of other awareness and R&D efforts are also keeping us absolutely, you know, competing with China. It is only in the low-end segments, low-sector segments is where competing with China only at price becomes a challenge. But otherwise, we are much better than them in any other field, I can say.
Understood. And sir, second question is, because of this Red Sea issue, there is increase in freight rate. So are we able to pass on those increase in costs?
No, not
at the moment. I think because if we are just waiting and watching that it's going to be a short-term phenomenon or long-term. Short-term, we are not. But the minute it moves to long-term, we will be passing it on. But as of now, because it's a temporary issue, so we are not able to pass it on at the moment.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Kunal Kothari from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is in regard to the Rabirun Vinimay Private Limited. So in that of nearly 4,000 to 5,000 ton month of the capacity, what percentage will be the decorative pipe and what percentage will be the industrial pipe capacity? And for that, we will be using our own HRC, right? And so what series of HRC will be used for the production of that product, 200 series or 300, 316 series?
So firstly, yes, 100% material will be Jindal Stainless material that we will use. At phase one, it's going to be 100% decorative pipe and tube because for industrial, some minor capex and changes are required. So first, we will start only with decorative and it's going to be 100% Jindal Stainless material. The grade or the series is generally 50% 200 series, 50% 300 series. That is the way the whole domestic market works. So, which is what also we are targeting.
And what margin and realization that we can look forward for this product?
So, margin we are expecting close to 7 to 8,000 per ton at this moment, which will further increase later on.
That's the EBITDA per ton.
EBITDA per ton.
Yeah, and we can ramp up quickly in FY26 at least.
Yeah, by FY25 and 26 we should be able to. 26 we should be able to.
to maximum level, like 90%?
Still too early to say, because we have literally acquired it, you know, a month back. So still too early to give you a hard commitment, but looks promising and possible.
Okay. And sir, any color on the industrial pipe segment also that you mentioned that you went to get into that segment as well? So what timeline you see to set up that capacity and the capex that you see for the same?
So we're still working out those numbers at the moment, you know, which market we want to target and at what capacity. So that's why I said first priority is to start with decorative pipe and tube till the time we're working on our industrial strategy.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mudit Bhandari from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Just one question. In JUSL standalone, what is the debt maturity? As far as I remember, it was just a single bullet payment maturity. So what is the timeline?
No, it's not a single bullet payment in JUSL. It's close to a door-to-door maturity of 16 years with average tenor of close to 10 years, 10 to 10 and a half, 11 years.
Okay, so all equal payments of what rupees?
Sorry?
It's
as I mentioned that it's actually more ballooning towards end, and we have also prepared some of the installment for next 2 years. So that's the reason if you see the door-to-door is 16, but an average also comes close to 10 and a half, 11. So you can see that it's more rear-ended schedule payments.
Yearly scheduled payments, Mudit, are there in our corporate presentation also if you want to see it more details.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Majumdar for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a nice Q&A session. I would like to hand over the call now to Mr. Abhyuday Jindal for his closing remarks before closing the call.
Thank you, Rajesh. And let me thank everyone for attending this call. I would like to reiterate that strong economic activities are pulling up our core sector demand across segments in the domestic market, and we are trying to make the most of these opportunities. I hope that we have been able to answer all your questions in a satisfactory manner. Should you need any further clarification, or if you would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our investor relations team. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.